Hello and welcome to Friendship Weekly podcast. And you might not recognize my voice by now. You might, I don't know, but we have been absent for a couple of weeks, so apologies. I was not here 2 weeks ago. I know Phil and Jez did a fantastic job in my absence, and then last week, unfortunately, it was just one of those weeks where we just could not make the times work for various reasons. And speaking of which, just the two of us today, because Jez is on his Holly Bobs. So it is just myself and Phil. So good evening to you, Phil.
Hello.
Hello there. So we aren't going to, as you probably imagine, this show is going to be a little bit different to the normal because we aren't going to go back over two rounds of fixtures, etc. But we will touch on some of the European circumstances that happened in the last 10 days or so, as well as the usual kind of roundup for the weekend. But we wanted to do something a little bit different this week and just kind of talk about the general state of play, where teams are, what's going on, etc. and so on. So, with that being said, Phil, do you want to start in Europe or do you want to start at home?
Let's go Europe, because last time we discussed Europe, it was kind of depressing.
It was, yes.
And this time Europe has been much more fun, I think, for the
Yeah.
French team. So that seems like a good place to start. Although I am now realizing on my notes, I don't know who PSG are playing in the next round, but they did beat Real Sociedad over the two legs 4-1 with a double from Kylian Mbappe in the second leg. So everybody was
Yes.
very happy about that.
Absolutely.
Who are they playing?
The draw has not been made yet, so we don't know.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so
That's
we've
why I have no notes.
yeah, you've got nothing to worry about there. The other ones, I think, actually, Europa and UEFA, I don't think they, because they're mapped out a bit more, I think. Let me check that in a second. But yeah, let's start with PSG. Sort of European wise, as you say, they got through Sociedad. It was kind of Mbappe inspired. What do you make of what's going on with him at the moment? Because clearly, if they are going to go far in this competition, they're going to need him, especially for those big fixtures and depending on who they draw next. He basically won this game single-handedly is a bit much, but the two goals he got were just classic Mbappe, the one that ripped the net as well. He was the constant threat, he was the menace, and ultimately he's the match winner. It's going to be key that they keep him on side until he inevitably goes, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that a couple of weeks ago, he was being booed by the fans
Yeah.
because of the whole situation. But at the weekend, he started on the bench against Reims in the lunchtime game on Sunday. And as soon as he went out to warm up, cheering when he came on. You know, it felt much more like the fans were on his side. So I don't quite know what's happened to change their view of him after being quite pissed off with him a couple of weeks ago. So that was an interesting thing, but I think it seems like Luis Enrique is benching him when he feels he can,
Yeah.
to try to make a point. And I think he's given an interview this week that said, oh, he thought Ligue 1 would be easy. Well, yeah, it's easy if you've got 400 million and nobody else has got more than two. But yes, that was an interesting thing that fans seem to be back on side, possibly because it's just, okay, we've got 10 more games of this guy.
Yeah.
Let's make the most of it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, I think Enrique, he's not very big on stars. I think that's always been put across to him. And he was saying that, they have to start planning for life without Kylian, and that's what they're going to do. But I think somebody else made quite a good point on another podcast I was listening to today where they were saying, but it's not just Kylian who's going to go in the summer. That they're probably going to change quite a lot of that squad, probably bring in.
Marquinhos.
Yeah,
The
that's the
rumors
latest.
that they're going to get rid of him, which seems
I still,
weird.
I feel like he's been slightly on the decline the last 18 months, but I don't know if he's at Thiago Silva sort of levels where he wouldn't, where he wouldn't still be useful to keep around. But I think he is 31 now, so despite what El Khelaifi said, you pretty much guarantee they are going to bring in one, if not two, marquee players in the summer, you would think. So if that's going to be said, then that is going to change things. Their form in domestic situations, though, 2-2 draw against France at the weekend, who, credit where credit's due, they were very good, and they kept going, and
And
probably deserve their
a
point.
goalless draw against Monaco
The week before,
last
yeah.
weekend, and a 1-1 draw against Rennes before that. So
Yeah.
it looks like there is a foot off the gas situation in the league, because of course they're 10 points clear of Brest in second, because as ever, it has to be the Champions League. So
Yes.
that was interesting. What just one thing on Marquinhos, when obviously they go to the stands and show you who's there.
Yeah.
Marquinhos was there with his missus and two adorable children, one of whom was clutching a bucket of popcorn as big as him. They looked like they were having a wonderful time. So I do hope that, given what Marquinhos has done for PSG over the past however many years, that things do not end bitterly,
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
PSG do have a habit of maybe ending things bitterly. But
Yeah,
I'm sure wherever he goes, he'll be good. And yeah, just mini Marquinhos with his popcorn was a lovely sight.
wholesome, wholesome, exactly that. Do you, in terms of the rest of the European situation, we've got, obviously got Lille in the Europa Conference. They won 3-0 against Graz. I think it's fair to say that there's a pretty good chance they're going to get through. I'm actually just checking to see if the format is laid out. I think it is. I think
I
Lille,
well, I
actually, maybe
saw a,
not.
I think it was an Op de Jong tweet, which was about the percentage chance of winning that competition, because we've mentioned, well, I've mentioned before that people keep banging on about, oh, Aston Villa are going to win it. I'm like, Lille are good. And I think Opta have Lille as the second favourites, second highest percentage chance of winning the whole thing, which seems reasonable. Ironically, they had this round against Sturm Graz as not being that higher percentage of getting through, because I think Sturm Graz are kind of mid-table, as it were, in this situation, whereas some of the other big hitters are playing lower rankings like Servette, who are not going to make it. So if Lille can get to this round and a 3-0 away win, two from Jonathan David and one from Zegrova, they put themselves in a really good place. And given that Villa are having a bit of a wobble at the moment, we could be looking at Lille taking this. And I think that would be, a really good place for French football as a whole, but also Lille to get to.
To kick on a bit in Europe, and that sort of leads us into the Europa League as well, because we've lost a couple, haven't we, in that, but we have got Marseille still. And I mean, they absolutely blew away the first leg in terms of scoreline against Villarreal, of course, against their former coach as well. 4-0 demolition job. We'll talk about Gasset in a second on domestic fronts, but he was quick to sort of say, oh, it's not over and there's a second leg to come, etc. It is over. I'm just going to put it on record. That tie is done. But yeah,
That would
Marseille,
be the remontada of remontadas
wouldn't
if
it just?
Villarreal managed to overturn that.
Yeah,
So
wouldn't it
yeah,
just?
and
We've
also
lost.
seeing that Aubameyang with two goals,
Yes,
he
yeah.
has he's had his critics for kind of giving up when he doesn't fancy it. I think with Marseille, he really does fancy it, and he's having the time of his life. So that's also something that's I think really positive for
Yeah.
them.
Yeah, he's found form at the right time because he had that little bit of a period of time where he did kind of seem to go a bit quiet, but he's definitely picked up form again. We did lose Rennes and Toulouse though, didn't we, from that competition? So it's not all good news,
And loss.
unfortunately. And Lens, of course, yeah, of course Lens as well to Freiburg. So yeah, Marseille, Lille, and PSG are our three representatives. I'm guessing by what you said there, you fancied Lille would be the ones of the three that you feel might potentially go the distance.
Yeah, I think so, but I think Oemer got a note here, is this the weirdest new manager bounce in history? You know, because
Yeah.
Gasset, the idea was when he came in, there was a lot of people who were very underwhelmed, but it does seem to be working.
Yeah.
And they are at that level, don't want to incite the ire of OM fans, but Champions League, bit much. Europa League looks perfect for them. And also, I think we're all expecting PSG to crash and burn in the quarterfinals.
Depending on who they draw,
Sure.
yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I think Lille are a good bet, and it's good to see them playing freely, as it were, although they did have a bit of a blip at the weekend. But coming back with two late goals to draw against Rennes.
Yeah.
Again, Jonathan David. I should say David, really, because he's Canadian, isn't he? He's not French.
Yeah, I don't. I, yeah, nobody seems to know what the right one is.
No. But anyway, two goals in the last kind of 5 minutes to bring it back. They've got some gumption, they've got some moxie, and that's I think going to be interesting how they balance Ligue 1, where they're fourth, and Europe, but with their Europe not being perhaps quite as challenging as other teams' Europes,
Yeah.
I think they'll be able to manage that kind of fighting on two fronts pretty well.
I do sort of. Yeah, it's a tough one because I think the Marseille situation. I mean, since Gasset's come in, the suggestion is that he's just sort of given a bit of love, which, you know, Gattuso's not a bad coach, but the one thing he's never going to be known for is giving love to players. I think he's very much a hard line manager rather than an arm around the
Yes,
shoulder.
not so much arm around the shoulder as arm around the neck,
Yeah, fit foot, yeah,
maybe.
back of the hand around the head, yeah. But since the changes has come in, I mean, you can't argue with the results, the victory in Shakhtar, the Montpellier win 4-1 at home, the 5-1 away win at Clermont, obviously this Villarreal game, and then at the weekend they dispatched Nantes 2-0. We'll touch on
Again,
Nantes in a minute.
Aubameyang with the double.
Yes.
It feels like they're in a really good headspace
Yeah.
as well as a good run of form.
That's
And that I think is going to do them well if they can keep that going for the next
yeah. Well,
big 11.
they play Villarreal on Thursday, so 2 days time at time of recording. So that's that, and then we got the international break, and then arguably their next four fixtures are probably going to craft what happens next in their season because they are, I'll read them as they go: Rennes away, home to PSG; Lille away, home to Nice.
Ooh.
So all four of those are in that in that sort of pocket of clubs looking for Champions League, and they play Lens 2 weeks after that, sandwiched by Toulouse. So you would think that if they're going to keep this run going, Champions League is not beyond them. I mean, table wise, they are up into
No.
seventh now, and Nice are falling like a stone. Lens are consistently good. Never quite sure what you're going to get with Monaco, although they did get a win at the weekend over Strasbourg, who we might touch on in a minute. We all agree Brest have had a wonderful season, but can we, you know, are they going to finish second or are they going to get pipped at the post? You could have an argument for either side. But yeah, I think at whatever Gasset is doing, it's working. And I would not rule out Marseille to finish in those top spots.
I think part of it at Marseille is possibly just if we can have no drama for a couple of weeks, that would be good. And Gasset is not a particularly dramatic person, so maybe that's helping.
I agree. I agree. What about the rest of those challenges then? Let's sort of group them together because, like I say, Brest lost at the weekend to Lens, which obviously it's one of their rivals for that position in the top six. Aguilar, of all people, very rarely scores. I think it's his first goal in something ridiculous like 5 or 6 years or something stupid. I think I remember reading.
Really?
Yeah,
Because
I thought that was a bit
I
off. I know it's
just
been a
feel
while,
like
but.
Aguilar is one of the few Lens players, well, obviously, Wahi, etc. But Aguilar's a name I always imagine as being on the score sheet. I possibly that's from years ago when he was somewhere else. But there you go.
Yeah, it's one of those that he's obviously known as an attacking fullback, but he got the winning goal in that particular game, and that will potentially prove crucial. But that does drop Brest, or does close the gap because, like I say, Monaco got that win over Strasbourg. Ben Seguir with the winner there. Lille, I think, will probably feel like they'll probably feel good about the fact they came back late on because they were 2-0 down at home to Rennes and. I think scored those two goals from Jonathan David in the last, I think they were both in the last 10 minutes. Yeah, they were. So they will probably feel like that's a point gained and that puts them into fourth. And then Nice are just falling like a stone, four defeats in their last five. A
Yes,
couple of
again,
those.
I saw an Opta stat. I think it said Nice are the only team in Ligue 1 who haven't taken a point once they've gone behind. So when they were up against Montpellier on Friday night, I was like, well, that's going to change. And it didn't. The stat continues because Montpellier went ahead 10 minutes through an own goal. Bugger equalised 2 minutes later, and you're thinking, as a Montpellier fan, okay, seen this before. But then Tejji Savanier got a penalty just before half time, and that was how it panned out, 2-1. So yeah, their Nice's record is actually the joint worst, I think, of the last five. Maybe the worst.
They've been. It's been. I say it's a collection of weeks. And if you look at a couple of those defeats where they lost to Toulouse in amongst that, and Clermont as well, which is a real, you know, nobody really is losing to them at the moment. Bless them. Sorry, they drew with Clermont. Sorry, my mistake. 0-0.
I
Lyon was the other
said
one.
5-1 away from Marseille. And that was, they have the worst record over the past five. And you could see it, the frustration that was hitting the players, that something just isn't working. And they are furious, the fans are furious, I'm presuming the higher ups are furious. But you would have thought playing Montpellier at home was going to be a gimme to get them back on track, and no. So, yeah, they need to sort themselves out pretty fucking quickly, or they're going to drop right out of that. They're sixth at the minute and just on a downward trajectory.
Yeah, and especially given their ownership having their eyes clearly somewhere else at the moment, it would suggest that things, yeah, they're not the priority. Let's just put it that way. I think it would probably be fair to say. Mentioned obviously Renner on the outskirts of that in eighth, and you've got like a pocket of teams in the middle there, Reims, Lyon, Toulouse. Maybe I'll include Toulouse in this next bit because we've got this fight at the bottom. Jez will have been happy at the weekend because his Metz
Yes,
team got that
well,
win.
he did say to us that he was cross about missing 2 weeks ago because Metz had won for once and now they've won again, admittedly against Clermont, so a bit like shooting fish in the barrel. But yeah, Mikdadze penalties in both those games.
And it's
They aren't that far off. They're only 2 points off 16th and 15th, because Lorient and Nantes are both on 25. If they could put one more win together, all of a sudden things feel a lot better.
There's a
So
potential there, yeah.
it's that's an interesting one. So maybe when Jess comes back from holiday,
Yeah.
almost certainly they'll have lost.
It sounds lawyer.
So we won't have a chance to be happy. But
There is
we'll see. Who have they got next?
one more round before the international break. So at the weekend they go away to Reims, which is not
No.
yeah, not an easy one. Reims has certainly been turning things around. Obviously, that PSG result was a good one. So yeah, tough. But it does highlight how close things are down at the bottom. Obviously, Lorient got a couple of decent results, which I was very pleased about in recent weeks, but then it slipped back at the weekend with Lyon coming to town and winning. The one that really disappointed me was the home loss to Nantes, because obviously they're right in the mix now. That was a fortnight ago. Clermont, I'm not saying they're dead and buried, but they really had to get something from Metz.
I'm saying they are.
I think they're, yeah. I mean, realistically, because they're not there. What are they now? 8 points from safety, and that's relying on other teams. Yeah, so they need to win at least two, maybe three games, and other teams lose three around them. So yeah, maybe they are doomed. Metz have closed that gap to 2 points. Nantes, though, all of a sudden, speaking of teams falling like a stone, I mean, they brought in they changed a lot of things, didn't they? But the coach with Jocelyn Gourvennec coming in, you thought, oh yeah, that'll be enough to keep them sort of, through the season. Well, all of a sudden, that's not looking quite so good. And Strasbourg, Montpellier, obviously you'd be able to speak for Montpellier, but Strasbourg as well. I mean, looking over the shoulders, both on 26 points, and Le Havre, who we were talking to Adam a few weeks ago, he was saying they were the ones he was keeping an eye on because as fun as they've been this season, there is always that one team that starts fun and then it horribly goes wrong towards the back end, and they're just a point further up on 27. So there's a lot of big clubs in there, isn't there? Strasbourg, Nantes, Montpellier. It's
Yeah, I think Strasbourg are the ones who have equally bad form as Nice. But the thing is, Nice are sixth and Strasbourg are 14th. So it kind of makes a difference there. With Montpellier, while I was surprised by the results at Nice at the weekend, they're bad form is that it's up and down. Our good friend Tarek Amir used to say of OL, they're consistently inconsistent. And I think that's pretty much Montpellier this season. But they've got loss, win, loss, draw, win, which is slightly different than having draw, loss, draw, loss, draw, loss, etc. So they are capable of winning games occasionally.
Which is quite
And
important.
yeah, so I think hopefully that will be something that they can build on and move up. But I mean, Love, It's a slightly surprising win against Toulouse. I know they're now next to each other on the table, but they weren't when they started. Those 3 points have hopped Le Havre up from the relegation zone to 12th. So, like you say, it is really tight down there. We've got 27, 26, 26, 25, 25, 23. And Clermont 17. So it's all very much down to the wire, and a lot of very tight games, you'd imagine, will make a lot of difference at the bottom of the table. The top of the table, it's obviously PSG are 10 points clear. Bottom of the table is a much more kind of nuanced situation.
It does. I think it's one of those, we've said it for a while, haven't we? We've said it for years, but obviously we all know PSG are realistically going to, or at the very least, should win the league most years. But that sort of race for the European spots is definitely a tight one. And the bottom, that's, I suppose I'm a bit biased, maybe even you are at the moment, because our clubs are down there, Jez as well, but it is increasingly looking like it's going to be a shootout that could go all the way if we exclude Clermont. And then, of course, with that playoff spot, you know, there is an opportunity for clubs to leapfrog each other. If you look at the fixtures upcoming as well at the weekend, Toulouse-Lyon is an interesting one because realistically both are probably okay, but if there is a winner from that game, it could just maybe plant another seed of doubt once again. So that's an interesting one. You've got Nantes against Strasbourg. Enough said. I mean, it's literally a 6-pointer. You've got Clermont-Lave, similar. Again, you know, if Clermont were to get a result in that, okay, it might not help them, but it will certainly drag Lave deeper. And we mentioned Reims against Metz, Lorient go away to Monaco. I'm not really expecting much, if I'm honest, from that one. So those fixtures, those two, that, I mean, the big one is not Strasbourg, isn't it? If there is a winner in that, that drags one of the others in. And Montpellier, unfortunately, I'm sorry, you've got PSG. So that's not going to be fun, I suspect. Although you never know, off the back of PSG, maybe have their focus on resting players ahead of the European games upcoming, maybe. Who
No,
knows?
I think we're going to get tanked there.
Yeah.
But then that will be out of the way with a decent amount of games to play for the rest of the season. Because if we just look briefly at the PSG RAS game at the weekend, which ended 2-2, as I said, Mbappe started on the bench and everything kind of happened in the first half. Minetti opened scoring. Then there was an own goal for PSG to equalise. Then Ramos, 2 minutes later, got one. But then Diakite levelled it just before half time. And that second half was very intense. I mean, Mbappe and Dembele came on at around 7 minutes, and you're just thinking that was possibly 10 minutes too late, because it was a shootout, and PSG 19 shots to 8, 6 on target to 3. Diouf in goal for Reims was very good. I think
Agreed.
five saves, and he really owned his area. And what I thought was very interesting was Mbappe came on and he was shooting, it wasn't working, there were saves, but he didn't look angry or frustrated. He was just like, oh damn, that didn't. It was like he was more concerned with his record than the actual score. Did you feel that?
I kind of did a bit, yeah. It's a hard one to judge though, isn't it? Because of what goes on around. What gave you that impression? Let's see if I feel the same.
it was the look on his face when things happened, when you've saved from him, for example, he just did that kind of
Shrug.
grins, bull's eyes, whatever. It didn't feel like he was massively invested in changing the score. He wanted to score, but it didn't feel like he was that invested in the actual result.
Do you think maybe it's a case of with what's going on? Because obviously we aren't partial to what goes on behind the scenes, but if the decision, there's been no official announcement, but obviously everybody knows he's going to go. Is it a case of that maybe him and Luis
There
Enrique have just.
hasn't there been an official announcement?
I don't think so. I may be wrong. I mean, obviously everyone knows, and it's been across all the major journalists, but in terms of like the actual club coming out, Jurgen Klopp-esque and saying I'm off, I don't know whether it's actually been done. I may have missed it, obviously I've been away, but I just wonder if maybe there's not an agreement, but an understanding between manager and player that, look, you will play the big games, the Champions League. We all know PSG. I think if you said to PSG now, you can
Yeah, we're
lose
going to
every league
win the
game.
league, just turn up and do it in Europe.
I honestly think if you said to PSG now, you're going to lose every single league game for the rest of the season, and you might not win the league, but you will win the Champions League. I think they'd take that now because that's the golden goose. So maybe they are just going to use Mbappe. I think Julian Laurence was saying this the other day, and in this sort of topic, and suggesting that maybe, Mbappe will play the big games. He'll play the Marseille Classique games. He'll play the Lyon games. But if it's away to Clermont on a rainy Tuesday night, he's not going to play.
There is no point. Yeah.
And maybe his contract has got something to do with that as well. Because if Real Madrid are, if you believe that Real Madrid is the destination, which it seems it's going to be, and there's been no official announcement, and he, of course, wants to play the Olympics as well, he's not going to want to put himself in a position where he could get injured. So it's a weird one, isn't it?
He want to play the Olympics? I know Payet wants to play the Olympics, which I think would be cool. Kind of like the last Olympics when it was what? Gignac and Tovin and Savanier were the three overage players. That was cool because it was like, well, the Mexican League is finished and Tejji Savanier will run into walls for whoever. I didn't know about the Olympics. One thing I just wanted to mention, which came up a bit ago, we've had oh God, the change in sponsorship from Ligue 1 Uber Eats to Ligue 1 McDonald's. And that just sounds wrong. I know Ligue 1 Uber Eats is like three different languages in one title, but McDonald's just sounds wrong. And apparently that's going to be 20 million, or it is currently 20 million a year. And I was having a chat with Gibney, who was saying, what do Barclays play for the Premier League? Because, 20 million sounds low. I looked it up and it was like 80 million or 40 million. I'm like, yes, you'd think it would be higher,
I
but
think.
apparently it's going to be that. But the point I wanted to make, sorry, that was a slight aside, was the rights for Ligue 1 are coming up again. And Andy Brassel made a very good point on the continent, which is that it seems like Emmanuel Macron is trying to persuade beIN Sport to take the rights to try to put some money into the league. Now, I got a bit confused at first because beIN did have the rights in France a year or so back when Obviously, they're kind of inverted commas, the owners of PSG. But also in the 90s, Canal Plus had the rights when they were the owners of PSG. So this change is a financial fair play, but also that these are the foreign rights. Because I think we all know that the domestic rights for Ligue 1 are a fucking mess. This is why I have five football subscriptions on TV, because nobody knows what's going to be on what particular channel. So the whole situation where if Mbappe leaves, it's a problem for the league as a whole, not just for PSG, because
Depending
of the
on,
money, because of the attraction. And that's something I think, which is over the summer, is going to be an absolute bin fire to cover.
There's a few, isn't there? There's a few leagues that are struggling with this. I think Bundesliga have had a lot going on recently with fan protests and whatnot about their rights packages, and La Liga isn't as watched anymore. I mean, I must admit, like, this is probably a slightly different tangent, but even from a personal perspective, you know, my Liga is genuinely, it's sort of like is a highlight of my weekend. Like, you know, if you, yes, I watch some Premier League games and whatever, but generally Ligue 1 is my bread and butter. And I'm seriously looking at the prices we pay over here for TNT, as it's called now. And, you know, full disclosure, it's like £37 a month for me to watch a couple of games that, okay, they're not quite as good quality and they don't get commentary, but I can watch for free on betting sites because the rights are the way they are. So they show the Ligue 1 games on all betting sites. You can watch any game at any time if you've got an account. And I do sometimes think for the ease of comfort of sitting on the sofa and watching on big telly, I do wonder, you know, and the Champions League as well. I mean, you look at those fixtures, aside from you and I and Jez and a few other French football fans, nobody's watching PSG Real Sociedad. Nobody's watching Man City Copenhagen. Nobody's watching, I mean, aside from Arsenal Porto fans, nobody's watching that game tonight. You know, it's it the prices are ridiculous at this stage.
I think my, just to talk finances for a bit, my Canal Plus subscription is pushing 40 euros, and that gives me the Premier League and the big games on Ligue 1. It's another 30, I think, for Amazon Prime, because you have to pay 19 for Prime and then another 9 for the legal thing. And then I have RMC Sport, which I think is 20, which covers the Champions League, and then 15 for BN, which has Europa League and cup games. So if you add that up, it's over 100 euros a month.
Yeah, that's a
So,
lot of
what, and
money.
I don't, I'm not looking for, you know, La Liga or Bundesliga as well, which are on BN. But that's what I pay to watch French teams play in whichever competition.
And
And that's a lot.
do you find that sometimes you, because I know I do this sometimes, where you just think, oh, I'll just chuck a game on because there's nothing to do. You're not really, and I don't, maybe not the Ligue 1 games because there's a bit more invested for us for our, you know, research and the pod, etc. But you know, if you've got, like, I must admit I've watched a lot more of the championship recently in England, just because it's quite an exciting league. You know, there's lots of clubs and whatever. But I couldn't say to you that I'm sat here, you know, like fully invested. And even the Premier League games, I mean, obviously the Arsenal games I'm fairly invested in, but maybe we're just getting old. But I can remember in my youth, like racing home from Sunday football practice to watch games, and having the radio on and being invested. And this past weekend, I Man City Liverpool, everybody's talking about how big a game it was. I went out for a run and I missed the first half because I just didn't really care. It's like, is it just a sign of the times that we're all being priced out of watching a game that we love, and therefore we don't maybe just don't love it as much as we did? Maybe that's the bottom line, and maybe that's what leagues like Liga are facing because they can't get the money.
I do think it makes you feel a bit, not bitter, but just aggravated that this is, in a sense, this is being done to get money out of you. And one thing from the weekend that kind of brought this to a head was, again, I was watching PSG Rams, and sometimes you look at the shirts and you're like, well, what's going on there? And I could not work out what PSG shirts were around. And I know in the, it was the Sunday lunchtime game, so I know in the past they've had Chinese script on their shirts because that's a new market for football reasons, etc. But this one, I really couldn't work it out. And it was, I asked on Twitter, and John Johnson came back to me and said, yeah, it's Korean.
Yeah, it's all
And
the
you're like,
markets, isn't it?
it's, I mean, I understand it, but first, what is the referee thinking of this? Jesus Christ, who am I supposed to write down in the book? What is it? What's next? Ancient Sumerian? Icelandic runes? I mean,
And also teams are
you
getting
seem to be, and there were a lot of under the PSG tweet, official tweet, which was, oh, we've got the new flocage for the weekend. There were so many PSG fans saying, every fucking week you're doing this. This is ridiculous. And it does feel like, how is this sustainable? This whole financial model of football, we all know, is unsustainable. But this is the financial model of showing it is just ridiculous.
And that's before you even get onto the conversation of, the training wear that you can buy. Like, again, when we were growing up, you could buy the home shirt, you could buy the away shirt, maybe you could buy a rain jacket. Now you can buy the training gear, you can buy the flight suits, you can buy the scarves, the, I
Yacht
mean,
strap, you can
yeah,
buy training bra.
four different shirts a season. I mean, I know I can't talk because I know Lorient released a special shirt at the weekend, but there's anniversary shirts. I think I read somewhere that PSG are likely to be one of the teams that are going to have five strips next season. It's just like, why do you need five? I just don't. And I get it, it's to sell money. And you know what? If people are stupid enough to buy it every year, then maybe I don't blame the clubs, but. And interestingly, I saw France are looking to renegotiate their sponsorship with their kit manufacturers because they're currently with Nike, and I believe they're looking to renegotiate that deal because it's up in 2026, and that's gonna bring in a lot of money to the federation. So, yeah, well, I feel like we went off on a tangent there, but I quite enjoyed it. So.
I feel like we vented and got a lot out there. And I
Yes.
feel better. I don't
Yeah.
know you.
I think we can both agree that the McDonald's Ligue 1 is not, it doesn't really roll off the tongue. I mean, even the Uber Eats didn't
Terrible.
really. It's not the best, is it? It's not the best. But I think we'll all call it Ligue 1 regardless. So, sponsorships, whatever they may be. I feel like we sort of covered everything really, haven't we?
Well, if I can bring it back to proper good time football, just briefly, the Coupe de France feminine semi-finals happened last week, and dun dun dun, OL are out. Fleury beat them on penalties after a nil-nil draw.
Yeah,
So I don't know if this must be the first time in like 15 years they've not made the final. And then it was the Paris Derby in the other semi-final, Paris FC versus PSG, ended 3-3. And unfortunately, PSG won on penalties. I don't mean to bitch about PSG, but it would have been so good if it
Yeah.
had been Fleury versus Paris FC.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, I don't know when the final is, but Fleury are in there, and OL will not be able to win a treble this year for the first time in fucking ages.
Yeah.
So that is that was a nice reminder that occasionally things can work out.
Yeah, occasionally things do happen because that Lyon side are almost invincible, aren't they, on their day? So, yeah, that's quite the achievement for a lesser side. And I imagine, I think I'm right saying we got Coupe de France men's. That will be coming back around in what, a couple of weeks'
Well,
time, I
yeah,
think it is.
we've still got to have the Nice, is it Nice PSG?
Yeah, there's one fixture
Because,
missing somewhere, isn't there? Yeah.
yeah, because OL beat Strasbourg on penalties,
Yeah.
Valenciennes beat Rouen on penalties, and Rennes beat Le Puy, who were the Petit Poucet. So the final game there is, think Nice PSG or PSG Nice,
Yeah.
which is happening soon,
Yes, that's
possibly even this week. Jesus.
I'm just gonna try and find it actually, because I definitely saw something coming up with regards to that. And by the way, that
Yes,
Lyon
it's
game.
tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, is it? Okay.
I
Wednesday the
thought it was
13th.
mid-March and I got confused as to where I was on the year. So,
Yes,
yes,
Wednesday the
that's going to
13th.
be tomorrow.
And the winner will play Rennes in the semi-finals, and then Lyon against Valenciennes is the other semi-final. So Lyon Valenciennes is on the 2nd of April, and I believe the other quarterfinal will be probably close to that, depending on again PSG's European exploits. So yeah, it's all coming around again. And I said Lyon from day one, I'm going to stick with them. I'm probably going to be wrong, but they need to play a lot better than they did against Strasbourg, that's for sure, because that game was god awful. Anyway, right. I feel like we've done everything. I feel like we've covered pretty much everything. Slightly different show this week because we did miss the week. We wanted to just give a bit of an overview rather than dissecting games directly. But hopefully you've all enjoyed. Is Jez back next week? Is it the weekend
I
after?
have no idea where he is,
No,
so
he's a busy
maybe
man.
we can just check in.
We will. Well, whatever happens, two of the three or all three of us will be back next week, I'm sure. We'll be looking at the weekend's games before we head to another interlull. Unfortunately, it's one of those ones that just comes at the worst possible time, right when you're in the midst of leagues being wrapped up, etc. But it is what it is. So we will look at the weekend's games. As I say, I think both of us really are going to be keeping an eye on our respective teams, but also a very close eye on that Nantes Strasbourg game, aren't we? Because that's yeah, that's got 6-pointer written all over it, and it's either going to be really fun or absolutely terrible. So yeah, we shall see this time next week. Right, that'll do us then, Phil. Thank you very much for this evening. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And thank you all for being patient with us. As I say, apologies, we did have to skip a week last week, but sometimes, as Jeff Goldblum once said, life finds a way, or in our case, it didn't find a way. So busy times and all that, but hopefully we'll be back for the majority of the rest of the season on a weekly basis as usual. And if you do have any questions or anything you want to chuck our way, the Twitter/X platform is where to do it. Drop us a line and we will do our best to answer any questions you may have. But for this week, whatever you're doing, whether you're watching Coupe de France action or whether you're just following Ligue 1 at the weekend or indeed watching the Ligue Feminine as well, there's plenty to choose from, whichever way you want to go, but whichever game you are watching, enjoy your French football. and we will speak to you very soon.